الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue reading in Kitab al-Zakah the book of al-Zakah and we have seen in our previous class the definition of a zakah, lughatan wastilaha, the definition linguistically, and likewise the definition legislatively, and we have seen the relationship between the two. And because this chapter here, and this affair, the affair of zakah, as we all know, is from the pillars of al-Islam, rather, it's the greatest pillar after the pillar of the Shahadatain and the pillar of As-Salah, the most important and greatest pillar after the Shahadatain and after the Salah is the pillar of Az-Zakah. So, since this is the issue and the affair, then we will take the most important issues related to this chapter, the fundamentals, and the most important issues related to this chapter, especially those issues that we face in these times and these days, specifically before we begin reading the narrations that the author he had mentioned. So we will discuss the most important fundamentals and the foundations with regards to this chapter, from the conditions and from the wealth, the amount that it must reach from the nisab and the likes like this, and who is allowed to receive, so on and so forth. So this will be our studies with regards to this chapter for the next few classes before we begin reading the specific narrations that the author he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in order to have a solid understanding and a good foundation with regards to the issue of zakah, knowing its fundamentals, being able to picture the issues properly, and to understand the obligation of this affair, the obligation of this affair. So in our previous class, we have taken a zakat lughatan. Who can remind us of the definition of zakat linguistically? The definition of zakat linguistically. An-nama'u wa tathhir. Ahsant. An-nama'u wa ziyada wa tathhir. Yani that a zakat linguistically, it means to grow and to increase. It means to grow and to increase, and also it means to purify. So therefore, zakat linguistically, it has two meanings. One of them is to grow and to increase and to flourish. And from this aspect, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the example, zakat zara, meaning ay nama wazad, meaning the crops that grew and they increased, meaning they flourished. But you use this verb like this, zakat yizku az-zara, meaning the crops. So this is what is intended here from that linguistic aspect. But also another meaning is to be purified, to be purified. And from that aspect, zakatu an-nafs, or taskiyatu an-nafs. And many times the verb will be used on another form, on another scale, on the scale of fa'ala. And they will say, zakka, qad aflaha man zakkaha, qad aflaha man zakkaha, on the scale of fa'ala. To indicate that there's purification that is happening, that's being done to the soul. And this is another aspect likewise of this verb, zakat. And both meanings are included in the word zakat. وَالَذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those people who are doing a zakat, yani they are purifying their souls, and likewise they are performing the obligatory zakat on their wealth. And this meaning is understood here. So the word is zakat, it has both meanings. The person, he purifies his soul, he makes zakat of his soul, and likewise he makes zakat on his wealth, But the pillar of al-Islam, the zakat that is the pillar of al-Islam, this is zakatu al-mal, zakatu al-mal, the zakat of the wealth. So this is the linguistic meaning. It has two meanings. What are they again?
To grow and to purify.
To grow and to purify. Both of these meanings are found in the legislative meaning. Both of these meanings are found in And the law and legislation of zakat, the obligatory charity. How is that? Both of these meanings here, growing and purifying, they're found in the legislative meaning of zakat, the obligatory charity. The person who performs the zakat on his wealth, that's obligatory. Then both of these meanings are found there. Yani his the issue of growing and flourishing and increasing, and likewise the issue of purification is found there. His wealth will grow and purify. So if he has $1,000 and he had to give $25 in zakat, then he will have his wealth grows. His wealth grows. Is that what you're saying? And or you take 25 from it.
You take 25 from it.
So now it becomes how much?
Oh,
975. 975. So did his money grow?
ما نقص
مال من زكاة أو صدقة. ما نقص صدقة من مال. This is how it come. يعني صحيح in Muslim. أو ما نقص مال من صدقة. This is the wording of a Tirmidhi. And the meaning is the same. That the sadaqa, the charity, that it doesn't decrease the wealth. But we see here that somebody who had $1,000 to pay zakat on, how much would he pay?
$25.
He would pay $25. So his money now became $975. Did it grow or did it increase? What is apparent is that it decreased. But the point here is that it will be a means for it to grow. It will be a means for it to flourish. It will be a means for it to have blessing. For it to have blessing. So the one who gives the obligatory charity, then that will be a means for his money to flourish and to grow. And a means for that wealth to have blessing in it. And to have benefit for that person. To have benefit for that person. Some people, the wealthy, they're rich. Maybe they have lots of money. Some of the affluent, yani the Muslim and non-Muslim, and they don't pay the zakat on that. And their money is a calamity for them and a trial for them. And it's not a blessing for them. And they spend and they spend and they spend, but there's no blessing in their wealth. There's no barakah in their wealth. And the lines like this. But somebody else, maybe he has lesser than that. And he pays the zakat on that. And his wealth takes him yani a long way. It's very beneficial for him. And it's a blessing for him. And there's good in that wealth for him. So therefore, the fact that it grows, meaning it's a means for the wealth to flourish and to be good and to have blessing. To flourish and to be good and to have blessing. And many times the people who have the obligation of zakat on their wealth and they perform that, they'll find that their wealth actually increases. And by the next year, they have double that or more. They have double that or more. And the likes like this, their wealth will have blessing in it and it will actually grow. And it will actually grow, alhamdulillah. And likewise, those who give charity, likewise, the non-obligatory charity. The non-obligatory charity, many times, those people who do that, they give this money, they find that they'll give $100 in return, they'll have 700. Or in return, they'll have double that, or triple that, or multiply it. Yani as Allah wills and decrees, the people who give up their wealth for the sake of Allah, many times Allah Azza wa Jalla, He multiplies that for them. He multiplies that for them. So from this aspect, yani this is what is intended. It grows. It's a means for the wealth to grow and to flourish. And also, it's a means of purification. So the law of zakat, or the legislation of zakat, is a means of purifying. It's a means of purification. How is that? We spoke about three aspects in our previous class. Three aspects of purification that come from the issue of zakat.
It purifies the wealth.
It purifies the wealth. من أدى الزكاة ماله فقد ذهب عنه شره. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever performs the zakat on his wealth, then the evil of that will go away. Yani he will do away with the evil that is in the wealth. So it's a means to purify the wealth. If there's any evil, if there's any evil in the wealth, or any shar in the wealth, or anything that is indecent or foul or not correct with regards to the wealth, by performing the zakat, all of this goes away and is purified. All of this goes away and is purified. This is one aspect. Ahsanta. And also it purifies the one who performs the zakat. It purifies his soul from greed and from stinginess. It purifies his soul from greed and from stinginess. So the one who gives the zakat, yani he is purifying his wealth. It's a means to purify his wealth. And also in the purification of the wealth, this is also from the aspect of how it will be able to grow. Because whenever it's pure from filth and pure from being mixed with haram and that which is not good, then now it has nothing to do except for to grow and to flourish. And whenever there's the evil is removed from that. And whenever the filth is moved from that, at this time, it will be able to grow and to flourish. So this is the aspect. Also, the one who gives the zakat, by giving up that portion of wealth, and by giving up that that money that he loves and desires, this is purifying his soul from stinginess and from greed. A means to purify his soul from stinginess and from greed. This is two aspects. There was one more aspect. But now we're talking about how the relationship of purification, how the purification occurs with the zakat. In our previous class, we mentioned three aspects. One of them, it purifies the wealth. The second one, it purifies the soul of the one giving zakat. Who is that?
The ones who receive the zakat.
The poor and the needy. The poor and the needy. How does it purify them?
From jealousy.
It purifies their hearts likewise from jealousy and having hard feelings towards the wealthy and towards the rich. So whenever the person he performs his zakat and he gives it to the poor and to the needy, many times the poor and the needy, they'll look at the wealthy. They'll look at the wealthy, and if they're not careful, then jealousy will enter their hearts. And they'll be jealous of them. And they'll have enmity in their heart towards them. And they'll have hard feelings in their heart towards them. And the likes like this. This is all from the whispers of shaitan. This is all from the trials of shaitan. But by giving the charity to them, by the wealthy having concern with them and care for them and giving them the charity that's obligatory, and taking care of this obligation, this also purifies their heart from that. They will see that their brothers are fulfilling the obligations of zakat, that their brothers did not forget about them or neglect them, and the likes like this. Although Allah had given them wealth and the likes like this, they did not neglect them, and they took care of them, and they gave them their rights. They gave them their rights. So likewise, this is a means to purify the hearts of the poor and the needy as well, from jealousy and from having envy and from having bad feelings towards the wealthy. So therefore, zakat is a purification. From this aspect, likewise, a means of purification. Who can remind us of the legislative definition? MashaAllah. أخذ مال مخصوصة لطائفة مخصوصة في الوقت المخصوص. MashaAllah. This is one definition, but it's not complete. What's the definition we took yesterday? The people of knowledge, they have mentioned different definitions. Some of them are more concise than others. Some of them are more concise and inclusive than others. Huh? At-ta'abudu lillah. This one is important to mention. At-ta'abudu lillah. Any in the definition. As a reminder, at-ta'abudu lillah. Then what was after that?
Bi-ikhraji
qadarin muqaddar. Or juz'in muqaddar. Juz'in muqaddar shar'an. It is a ta'abbudu lillahi azza wa jal bi ikhraji juz'in muqaddarin shar'an fi malin makhsus li asnafin makhsusa bin niyyah. So ta'abbudu lillah, that means it's an act of worship. It has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah. What is this ta'abbud? What is this action of worship? Bi ikhraji juz'in muqaddarin shar'an fi malin makhsus. By giving amount of wealth that is prescribed legislatively from a specific type of wealth. So we've seen that the amount is specific and it's decided and prescribed legislatively. And likewise that there is a specific type of wealth. And that wealth is due to specific categories of people with intention. So the definition again, التَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِإِخْرَاجِ جُزْءٍ مُقَدَّرٍ شَرْعًا فِي مَالٍ مَخْصُوصٍ لِأَصْنَافٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ بِنِيَّةٍ. So we discussed yesterday مَالٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. المَالٍ مَخْصُوصٍ, that the zakat is only on certain types of wealth, not on all wealth. And we mentioned five categories. Who can remind us of those categories? Five categories of wealth. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that zakat, it's an obligation to perform the zakat in this wealth, and if the rest of the conditions are met. Al-dhahab wal-fidda. They say al-dhahab wal-fidda. They call this in this chapter so that we can also learn vocabulary, words that are important terms in this chapter. Al-naqdan. What they mean by that, the two naqd. Yani al-dhahab wal-fidda, gold and silver. Also here they say wa ma yulhaqu bihima. وَمَا يُلْحَقُ بِهِمَا and that which is also included there. So the first category is gold and silver, and that which is also included with gold and silver, which is?
Cash money.
The money. And nuqud. يعني بالورق and the likes like this. Whether it's with ورق أو الحديد. يعني whether it's paper money or likewise if it's the coins. All of this is considered the same. Huh? This is all considered under the category of gold and silver. The dollars that we have today. The dollars and the cents and the reals and the likes like this. All of this money here. The currency is included in this point here. الذهب والفضة. You understand that? There's details. We learn. We take the details later. Just little by little, we want to study this chapter good, and we have a thorough understanding of this pillar of Al-Islam. Of this pillar of Al-Islam. That's the first type.
And after that,
you gather two of them. the second one we say الزروع والثمار. الزروع والثمار. Or we say ما تخرجه الأرض. ما تخرجه الأرض. يعني من النبات. That which the earth produces from grains and the likes, from grains and the likes. And this is also specific. It's not just anything that comes from the earth. For example, tomatoes, يعني come from the earth and the likes like this. Dates come from the earth. Not all of them are included. They're specific ones. We study those in its time. Right now, we just want to discuss where the wealth is. Where the wealth is. So that which is produced from the earth, meaning the crops. But there's specific ones likewise. Specific crops that are mentioned there. So we have the gold and the silver. We have the crops. And then, Bahimatul An'am. Bahimatul An'am. What is intended here? The cattle. The ibil, and the baqar, and the ghanam. The camels, and the cows, and the sheep, or the goats. Likewise, is included here. The camel, and the cow, and the sheep. Along with the sheep, the goats. The goats and sheep, they're the same. They're the same. So there's also zakat here. There's also zakat here, but there has to be nisab. This is another issue that will come later. This is along with the next conditions, along with fulfilling the rest of the conditions. Right now, we just want to know where is the zakat at? What is the mal al-makhsus? It's these affairs here. There's also other conditions that must be met. So not everybody that has a cow has to pay zakat on his cow. Not everybody that has gold has to pay zakat on his gold. You understand that not everybody who has a farm has to pray zakat on his crops. There's other conditions here. But we're just talking about these affairs here because this is where the zakat is. This is where the zakat is. This is where the zakat will be performed on if it meets the rest of the conditions. So we have the gold and silver and that which is with that from the cash. And then we have that which is the produce from the earth, which are the crops. And we have the cattle, which is the camels and the cows and the sheep and goats. And then after that we have urud at-tijara. Urud at-tijara, these are the items that are placed for sale. The items that are placed for sale. The items that a person he has, that he has intended by way of them to sell them. Whether they're in a market or a shop, or whether they're in his home. Or whether they're in his home. If it's intended and it's prepared and the person intends to sell it, then this is something that zakat will be performed on if the rest of the conditions are met. Somebody who has items, like for example, a store, he sells clothes, or he sells food, or he sells cars, or he sells whatever he has that he has to sell, then from the items to sell, then there's zakat in this affair here, if the rest of the conditions are met. And the fifth one, al-ma'adin wal-rikaz, wal-ma'adin wal-rikaz, and the ma'adin are the ores and the materials or the minerals that are found in the earth, like gold and silver. Like gold and silver, for example, that are found in the earth. That are found in the earth. Not the gold and silver that a person he buys and trades with or that he has in his jewelry and the likes like this that's found in the earth. Somebody who will find in the ground gold or silver or other valuable materials like this in the earth. There's zakat on this likewise. And also al-rikaz. And al-rikaz is the wealth or is the treasure that's found in the ground from the times of Jahiliyyah. From the wealth of the kuffar, not of the Muslims. Out of the Muslims. And you'll know that, for example, if you find a treasure in the ground and it has crosses on it, you know this is from the Kufar. Or if it has some signs of Jahiliyyah and the likes like this. But if it had an indication that it was from the Muslims, the ruling is different. The ruling is different. This will be in Bab Luqata, that which is something that was dropped and left. But in any case, so we have an-naqdan wa ma yuhaqqu bihima. Nam, you have the gold and silver and that which is along with that from the cash. And we have the crops from the earth. And we have the cattle, which is the camels and the cows and the sheep. And we have the items that are prepared for sale in business and trade that you intend to sell them to get money and to make profit from. And then you have the issue of the material that is in the earth, like the gold and the silver and the likes from these expensive metals. And you have likewise the treasure that's found there as well, any from the times of Jahiliyyah. So this is the mal al-makhsus. This is the mal al-makhsus. And this is what is intended here. Li asnaf al-makhsusa. Two specific categories. We mentioned yesterday that there was a number of categories that's allowed to receive zakat. And who are they? How many are they? Eight of them. Thamaniya. Eight of them. There are eight of them. Thamaniya. There's a verse in the book of Allah which mentioned them in detail. Who knows that verse? Innama sadaqatu. The verse, mention the verse. Innama sadaqatu lil fuqara'i wal masakin wal 'amilin 'alayha wal mu'allafati qulubihim wa fir riqab wal qari'in wa fi sabilillahi wal musawwir. Fariidatan min Allah. An obligation prescribed by Allah. Wallahu alimun hakim. And Allah, He is the most knowledgeable and most wise. Ahsant. So these are the eight mentioned in that verse. What are they again? Al-fuqara and al-masakin. Ibn al-sabil. We'll mention them in order of the verse. If we memorize the verse, it's easy. Al-fuqara wal-masakin. The poor and the destitute. We discussed yesterday the difference between al-fuqara and the masakin. What is the issue of the fuqara and the masakin? What's the translation of faqir and maskin? Faqir means in English. Poor. And maskin means?
Needy.
Poor. Poor. And you could translate both of them to mean poor. You say he's maskin, he's faqir, he's poor. But how do you understand the likes of these terms?
One that
when they come together.
Uh-huh. These are from those terms, and there are many of them in the legislation, in the legislative terminology. These are from those terms that have similar meanings. Mm-hmm. And whenever they're mentioned alone in one context, each word contains the meaning of the other. But whenever they're mentioned together in one context, each of them have a specific meaning. For example, like what? Other than faqir wa miskin. Like other words, huh?
Al-Islam wa al-Iman.
Al-Islam wa al-Iman. Even like al-Iman wa taqwa, or al-Birr wa taqwa. Like sometimes they come mentioned together like this, al-Birr wa taqwa. So they'll have a specific meaning when they're mentioned together. But whenever it's mentioned alone, birr means taqwa, and taqwa means birr. And likewise, al-Islam is Iman, and al-Iman is Islam. There's no Islam without Iman, and there's no Iman without Islam. So whenever they're mentioned in general, alone, then they both include the meaning of the other one. But whenever they're mentioned together in a specific context, now each one of them has a specific meaning. Each one of them has a specific meaning. From the likes of that, the faqir and the miskin. So the faqir, he's the one who is? He has nothing. He's destitute. He's destitute. He does not have anything. And the one who is miskin? He's needy. He's needy. He's the one who has something, but he doesn't have his needs met. He doesn't have his needs met. So there's a difference between somebody who's living on the street, he has nothing. He does not have a home. He does not have a paycheck. He does not have a car. He's destitute, and impoverished, and the likes like this. And another person who's not that bad, but also he doesn't have his needs met. Maybe he has a house. Maybe he even has a car. Maybe he even has a job, but he doesn't have enough to pay his bills. He doesn't have enough to pay his needs, or he pays his bills and then he doesn't have enough for his food, he's struggling, he's needy. When the month goes by, all of his needs are not covered. All of his needs are not covered. And the likes like this one is called miskin. So the point is that this is the foundation for giving zakat, the fundamental, for those who deserve it, and both of them are included. But also there are five other categories. After that, Allah, He mentioned, وَالْعَبِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. Al-amilina alayha, and those who work for the zakat. What does that mean? The one who the Muslim ruler appoints to go and to gather the zakat. The one who the Muslim ruler appoints to go and to gather the zakat for him. It's allowed for him to get the zakat. It's allowed for him to receive the zakat. Huh?
The Muslim Brotherhood.
No. This is something prescribed by them. Somebody will not do that and they say, well, I deserve this much. And then he'll take his own portion. And he'll decide how much. What is intended here in Allah knows best is that these people are allowed to receive the zakat. The poor person, likewise, he will not tell you how much to give him. He'll be given an amount that will suffice him. And the origin with the poor people and the people of not, as I mentioned, is that the poor man in the Islamic lands, he'll be given from the zakat ma yakfihi li sanatihi. He'll be given from the zakat that which will suffice him for a year. He'll be given from the zakat that which will suffice him for a year. And the person who is poor, he can't get by, and the likes like this, and then the ruler will give him a portion that will suffice him for the year. He will not be poor anymore. Alhamdulillah. It's the beautiful thing about Islam. Somebody thinks he's going to give zakat, he's going to give the poor man $100. And this is allowed. Alhamdulillah, he can accept that, but the legislation is like this, and this is what is prescribed. If it's established properly in the Muslim land, the poor people, they will be given enough for their year to suffice them. They'll be given enough for their year to suffice them. They'll be brought out of poverty for the year. They'll be brought out of poverty for the Alhamdulillah. So the point is, those who work and those who go and gather the zakat, for example, they're going to go and gather, they're going to be sent to the farms. They're going to go gather the crops. They're going to go count the heads of the sheep. They're going to go count the heads of the camels. They're going to go count the heads of the cows and the likes like that. And they're going to take the portion that is prescribed. And they're going to bring those animals and that zakat to the ruler or to the designated area and the likes like this. To the designated area and the likes like this. As for those who have money, then it's on them. It's a trust between them and between Allah. That they will come and they'll say, I have this much money zakat, I have to pay it. Like this. It's not mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ sent people to the different jobs and the different people to ask them, how much money do you owe? How much money do you owe? How much money do you owe? But the people who were sent out that were working to gather the zakat, they're gathering the animals and the crops. They're gathering the animals and the crops. So this is what is intended and Allah knows best. So these are the ones who are working for the Muslim ruler and at his charge and at his hand, and it's allowed for them to receive from that money some pay any for their efforts. This is called al-amilina alayha. So again, we have al-fuqara wal-masakin wal-amilina alayha wal-mu'allafati qulubuhum. And those who you want to soften their hearts, you want to unite them with you and bring them close. What is intended here?
The kuffar
is one of them. A new Muslim. A new Muslim.
Those who you want to keep the from kuffar.
So the mu'allafa qulubuhum, what is intended here is to unify the hearts. That's what mu'allafa means, literally. To unify the hearts. So there's people you want to soften their hearts towards Islam or towards the Muslims. So what is intended here is either somebody who is interested in Islam and he is close to accepting Islam, you can give him money to draw him close. Or somebody who is already a Muslim, but he's a new Muslim and maybe he's not stable yet, you give him money in order to make him firm. Or someone who is a non-Muslim, he's a disbeliever, but if you give him money, he will not harm the Muslims or he will make some efforts to take off some harm from the Muslims or to lighten up the situation for the Muslims in the likes like this. So these are the people that's included. And either he's a non-Muslim about to accept Islam, you can give him zakat in order to soften his heart and to draw him closer to Islam. Or he is a new Muslim and you want to strengthen him and the likes like this, this is allowed. Or he's a non-Muslim, but he has, for example, position and status, any rank, for example, a ruler, and the likes like that, somebody of authority, if you give him money, then he will, it will be a means for him to not harm the believers, or to not harm the Muslims, or to lighten some harm from the Muslims, and the likes like this, all of this is included. So it's not necessary to be zakat. You can give people money in charity like this also. This is from the avenues of giving charity. The point now is that this is from the avenues where zakat is allowed. The zakat can be distributed in this manner. The zakat can be distributed in this manner. This is the category of يعني مؤلف قلوبهم. مؤلف قلوبهم. How many is that? 4. How many are left?
4.
What's the fifth one? وفي الرقاب. And freeing slaves. والغارمين. The غارمين, they're people who have debts. People have debts. There's details in each one of these affairs likewise. It's not just an absolute sense. Yani, those who have debts. So to pay off somebody's debt, if the requirements are met likewise, then the zakat can be used for this affair. The zakat can be used for this affair. And also, في سبيل الله. في الرقاب والغارمين. نعم. في سبيل الله is in the path of Allah. Meaning for those who are fighting jihad, yani the legislative jihad, underneath the banner of a Muslim ruler who was recognized, and not somebody who just claimed this and the likes like this, like we see in some places today, waliyadhu billah, but this is from the avenues that is allowed. And likewise, wabn al-sabil. Wabn al-sabil is the wayfarer. So who is that?
Traveler.
The traveler. Any traveler, you can give him zakat? No. The one who's cut off. The one who's on his journey, and he's cut off. He doesn't have what he needs to get by. He's trying to get home. He's trying to get to a destination. And he doesn't have the means. He ran out of cash. He ran out of gas. He ran out of money for staying in the likes like this. He's on the road to a destination, and then on the way there, he doesn't have enough money to make it. He doesn't have enough money to get to his destination. It's allowed to give him from the zakat. It's allowed to give him from the zakat. It's allowed to give him from the zakat. So these are al-asnaf al-thamaniya. So again, that definition was ta'abbudu lillahi azza wa jal, to worship Allah azza wa jal. It's an act of worship. So therefore, it must be sincerely for the sake of Allah. How was that? Bi-khraji juz'in muqaddar shar'an fi malin makhsus. By giving up a prescribed amount of wealth, a legislatively prescribed amount of wealth, yani in specific wealth. And we've seen that specific wealth, li-asnafin makhsusa, to a specific category of people. And we have seen that likewise, bi-niyyah. With the intention of giving zakat. So therefore, it has to have the intention for the sake of Allah and seeking the reward of Allah, and it has to have the intention of giving zakat. So if somebody gave some wealth as charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then later on, after that, he wanted to use that towards his zakat, would that be allowed?
No.
Why not? Because zakat is a specific act of worship that has to have a specific intention. Because you have to have the intention before the action. So if he already did the action, then that action is finished. It was for what he did it for. If he did it for the sake of Allah, it was for the sake of Allah. If it was not obligatory, it was not obligatory. Alhamdulillah. And then whatever he wants to pay zakat, he has to have the intention for zakat. He has to have the intention for zakat. So somebody who gave $100 yesterday, and then today he realized that he has $100 zakat, he will have to give $100 zakat. The $100 that he gave yesterday was for charity, alhamdulillah. And that does not remove the responsibility of the 100 that he has today, because the 100 that he has today is an obligation for zakat, and that requires the intention to be performed along with the action. The intention along with the action. We understand these issues here. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So now we discuss the issue of the obligation of zakat, yani, or the ruling of zakat. Before that, the virtue of the zakat. We started yesterday to talk about this. The virtue of zakat, we have seen this is a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. It's the third pillar and the most important pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam, and from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that is muttafaqun alayhi, buniya al-islamu ala khamsin, and from it, ita'i zakat, the third one, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah wa iqam al-salat wa ita'i zakat. It's the third pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. And it's the most important pillar after the pillar of As-Salat. It's the most important pillar after the pillar of As-Salat. And it has been ordered. We have been ordered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the order of zakat in the Quran many times. So zakat, the order has come for zakat in the Quran many times, repeatedly. Over and over, a number of times Allah has ordered zakat. So this is also an indication of the importance of that and the high status of that Allah, He ordered for the zakat to be performed in a number of verses, numerous times, in repetition, over and over and over, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, time after time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the believers to establish and to perform the zakat. And likewise, praising those who do that. And many times from the attributes of the praiseworthy, it's mentioned that they are from those who perform the zakat. And likewise, those who are blameworthy and the likes like this, that have a threat of the punishment of Allah, are those who refuse the zakat. So all of this is indication of the level and the status and the rank and the virtue of the zakat. And also the people of knowledge, they mentioned that as zakat qarinatu salati fi kitabillah. As zakat qarinatu as-salat fi kitabillah. It's mentioned and it's coupled with the salat and the book of Allah. Many times you will find that. Wa aqimu salat wa atu zakat. Many verses are like this. If there's the mention of salat, coupled with that mention is the mention of a zakat. Coupled with that mention is the mention of zakat. Many verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that zakat is mentioned along with the mention of a salat, an indication of the virtue of this affair and the status of the zakat. So all of these affairs here indicate that. So now we discuss the ruling of a zakat. What is the ruling of a zakat? We see it's a pillar about Islam, and it is an obligation for those who reach the legislated limit. And if for those who reach the legislative limit, then it's an obligation. It's an obligation. And it's not something that is recommended. And this is the point. That is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِيهِمْ بِهَا. Take from their wealth a sadaqah, meaning a zakat, a charity, that will purify their wealth and make it good. That will purify their wealth and make it good. And likewise, the hadith that the author, he mentioned first, yani here, the hadith of Mu'adh, in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ أَوْ إِفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. That indeed Allah has made a charity obligatory upon them, that is taken from their wealthy and given to and distributed amongst the poor. So it is an obligation. It is an obligation. Zakat is an obligation that must be performed. It's mandatory. It's mandatory. So this is something that's very important. This is it's a right. It's a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From one aspect, He made it obligatory. To fulfill that obligation is a right of Allah. And also it's a right that the poor they have. It's a right that the poor they have upon the needy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned likewise about that. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومِ. So this is a right. Their wealth, there's a right on this wealth. Yani those who have those who are wealthy, they have the poor, they have a right on that wealth. So therefore it's an obligation. Therefore it's an obligation. Stemming from here, the people of knowledge, they discuss the issue of the one who denied the zakat. The one who denied the zakat. And there's a consensus with regards to the one who denied the obligation of zakat. The one who denied the obligation of zakat, he's like the one who denied the obligation of salah. He is a disbeliever by consensus. Those who deny the obligation of salah, he says it's not obligatory. Or he denied the obligation of a zakat. Likewise, he said it's not obligatory. If he wants to give it, he can give it. And he's free. It's a free world. It's a free world, and the likes like this, and it's up to me, my personal opinion. If I want to give the zakat, I give it. If I don't want to give it, I don't give it. The one who says the likes of this has disbelieved in Allah in the last day. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. And except in the case, if he's, for example, a new Muslim, he doesn't know. Somebody who said the likes of these words, it's not obligatory for him to pray, or it's not obligatory for him to give zakat, and the likes like this, he denied that obligation. And the origin is that he's a disbeliever. This is an action of disbelief, waliyadhu billah, an action of leaving out Islam, waliyadhu billah. Except for somebody, for example, he's a new Muslim, he doesn't know, he's ignorant. He just entered into Islam recently, and he's not aware of the laws and the limits that are set. And he mentioned the likes of this, he would be excused. But in general, this is the case. So, من جحد وجوب الزكاة كفر. The one who belied or denied the obligation of zakat, he disbelieved. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But with regards to the one who مَنَعَ الزَّكَاةِ, مَنَعَ أَدَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ بُخْلًا وَشُحًا. The one who denied or prohibited or did not give the zakat because of being stingy and greedy. This one, he has a different ruling. This one, he has a different ruling. For example, somebody who grew up in a Muslim society, somebody who grew up in Medina, for example, or somebody who grew up in Mecca, for example, or somebody who grew up in a Muslim country where the society is based upon Islam. The likes of these affairs, the pillars of Islam and the fundamentals of the deen, it would not be accepted for one of them to say, "Oh, I didn't know." This is something that everybody in society knows. So the claim of ignorance for the likes of this person would not be accepted in these circumstances like this. And this is something that is known from Islam. Somebody, for example, any the same ruling would be for Salat. Somebody who lived in a Muslim land his whole life, he grew up with Muslim family, he grew up in a Muslim society, he heard the Adhan every day. And then he said, "I didn't know I have to pray. I was jahil. Or I didn't know it's an obligation to make wudu." Like his jahil, he would not be accepted from him. His jahil, he would not be, his claim for jahil, his claim for ignorance, here would not be accepted from him and the likes like this. So the same thing with zakat. And in Islamic society, this is something that's well known. That's well known. So somebody who claimed that he was ignorant and he grew up in this manner, this would not be accepted from him, and Allah knows best. As for somebody who grew up in a non-Muslim land, or somebody who was a non-Muslim and then he accepted Islam, and he's unaware of the rulings entirely, and then he claimed he was ignorant about this, and that's why he made that statement, then it would be accepted from him. It would be accepted from him. We understand the difference? So some of these affairs here in a Muslim land, in a Muslim society, in a Muslim country, yani to claim to be ignorant of these affairs would not be accepted yani from him. Yani certain issues, maybe other issues that had details and the likes would be accepted, his ignorance would be accepted, the people of knowledge would discuss that. But here with the fundamentals, Allah knows best, it would not be accepted. It would not be accepted. So as for the one who believes that it's an obligation to pay zakat, but he does not pay it because he's stingy or he's negligent with regards to that. He's negligent with regards to that. What is the ruling for this person? The person who he says zakat is obligatory, but then when he said pay zakat, he doesn't pay zakat. He hoards his wealth. He hides his wealth. He refuses to pay zakat. What is the ruling? Is it said about this person that he's kafir?
No.
What is it said about this person? He's fasiq. He's lesser than kafir. He's not a kafir. The one who denied, the one who said that zakat is not obligatory. He said if he wants to pay it, he'll pay it. If he don't want to pay it, he don't have to pay it. This one here, this is considered disbelief, major disbelief. Waliyadhi billah. As for the one who agreed and he admits and he believes that it's an obligation, but then he refuses to pay that out of stinginess and greed, what is the ruling for this one? He's a fasiq. He's a corrupt and wicked individual, and he's upon a foul way. His iman is deficient and his faith is weak, but he's still a believer. He's still a believer. If he died in that manner, he would be from those people who are under the will of Allah and they have the threat of the punishment, any from those who believed. So this is something that is considered a major sin, but it's lesser than disbelief. It's a major sin, but it is lesser than disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That verily those who hoard up the gold and the silver and they do not spend it in the path of Allah. لَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is intended here? لَا يُزَكُونَهَا. They don't perform the zakat on it. The wealth that a person he holds, the gold and the silver and the money that he holds, if he does not pay the zakat, it's considered a kenz. It's considered that he's hoarding up wealth. But if he pays the zakat on that, it's not considered a kenz. Even if he has lots of wealth. He has lots of wealth, but he pays the zakat on that, it's not considered that he is, he's not applied, this verse is not applied here. So the threat is here for those people who hoard up the wealth and they do not pay the zakat on that. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Then give them the tidings, then give them and inform them of a painful punishment. Of a painful punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions on the day that it will be heated in the hellfire. Any of the wealth that they used to hoard up, it will be a means of punishment for them. It will be heated in the hellfire. And then their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded by way of it. And it will be bent, will be burned by way of it. This is, and then it will be said to them along with that punishment, along with that physical punishment, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is what you had hoarded up for your own souls. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So therefore taste. Yani meaning the punishment of that which you used to hoard up. And he said they'll be punished in two manners. They'll be punished physically. And that wealth will be heated. And then they will be branded and burned with it on their foreheads and on their backs and on their sides. And then on top of that physical punishment, likewise, they will be belittled and they will be disgraced. This is the wealth that you used to. This is the wealth that you used to hoard up. So therefore, taste the punishment of that which you used to hoard. Yani that which you used to gather and amass without fulfilling the right of that. So they'll be likewise, and he punished in this manner with disgrace, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So all of this is an indication that it's a major sin. All of this is an indication that it's a major sin. There are other evidence, inshallah, we discuss in the classes to come. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.